Hello, everyone, and welcome to Need for Speedrunning, a podcast with friends hanging out, talking about video games, talking about going fast. I am Ruby Hart, your host for this episode, and I hope you're having a wonderful day. Guys, I have to admit something. You know how last time we were talking about games, we fill each other in on what we've been up to, how we've been doing, and I said eventually I'll get over my obsession with Baldur's Gate. That has not yet happened. I need to report. I am still obsessed with Baldur's Gate and Fire Emblem Three Houses.
I would be too.
Makes sense. Keys and I are going to be jumping into Baldur's Gate soon, actually, because we had it as an incentive for a thing. So I'm going to be falling into the obsession myself.
Okay. What class are you thinking?
I don't know what I know nothing about the game. So we're going to I'll know once I boot it up.
have you never played D&D?
I have, but I don't remember much. Okay. It's fine.
Oh, that's going to be really fun. I would recommend the mechanics can be kind of weird if you aren't familiar with 5e. So definitely recommend reading a book.
That is what I played, at least. So, but
yeah,
we'll see.
Well, hey, Hobbs, how you doing?
Hi, I'm good. Hello. How are you?
I'm doing really well.
Just great.
No, honestly, I'm a little under the weather, so I apologize, folks, if you hear a cough, an occasional cough or so, or if you just can tell that my voice is gross right now.
I think it sounds beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. That's really more of a compliment to Discord's noise cleanup than it is to me.
AI technology to remove the raspiness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But no, I'm good, and I am here and ready to power through and talk about a new, like, speedrun glossary term.
Yeah, and I know you have your tea and your hauls, but before we get to introducing that, I still want to say hi to people. So, hey, Loaf of White Bread, how's it going?
Oh, I'm doing very well. I'm feeling great today. I actually won a big competition the other day.
That's right.
I did a Steinholding competition at an Oktoberfest, and my goal was not to be the first person out. And I won.
And it nice. Was so proud of yep. you.
I guess I have a lot of experience in holding beers, so I've been just practicing my whole life. You mentioned
follow-up question. Is that length of time holding a stein or maximum number of steins one can hold in two hands?
You're looking for categories.
I don't think I would win that one. I'm endurance.
I got some big hands. I'll hold on to quite a few mugs at the same time.
It's 32 ounces in the stein held out full length. I did 4 minutes and 11 seconds, and I was the last one, so I didn't go longer. But So that was nice. That felt good.
That's awesome! Congratulations.
Yeah, four minutes. Not as daunting as I would have thought.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long time. It's an eternity when you're holding a stein, but like I would have guessed longer. Okay, maybe they're
got to remember that you're inches away from beer that you cannot drink. So the longer you hold out,
is Milwaukee.
The longer you're going with. Did you at least have somebody else ready to give you sips of another drink as you're continuing to hold out the first?
That time? Sounds like a me move.
I do a technique of counting down from like 30 in my head. So I just kept counting down to just like I like to have a moving goalpost. It kind of helps me focus on something. But my tattoo guy, who's a big Viking, and this other guy who's was a monster, huge dude, they were the other guys. But enough about that. That was fine. You mentioned Baldur's Gate, and I just wanted to mention that Phil Spencer and Microsoft recently put their feet in their mouth with the most recent leak from the FTC leak debacle that just happened. All their Game Pass, like, they had a Game Pass schedule, and it proposed prices for what they would pay for a game, what they thought they were worth. And under Baldur's Gate 3, this is before it came out, they said second-rate Stadia PC RPG. It was like, whoa, you guys missed the mark on that one.
They clearly did not understand the value of this game. It's literally D&D 5e meets the beauty that was Dragon Age Origins storytelling. Like, what?
Yeah. That's, I mean, like 10 years ago, maybe you would say that, you know, if it came out like 10 years ago. Yeah, people, you know, would probably say that. But like, D&D is everywhere now. Like, no. Like, D&D is mainstream. Like, it's, things have changed.
The biggest Twitch channel is a D&D channel. Like, that's literally the biggest channel on Twitch is Critical Role.
Yeah, it was already growing up in popularity. And then the moment Stranger Things hit Netflix, it absolutely exploded everywhere.
Yeah. Also in that leak, real quick, because it does affect us. Xbox's new console was hinted at coming out in like 2027, 2028. All cloud. They're aiming for like all cloud gaming. Their next iteration of the Series X will be diskless, but they're talking about for their next gen one to get away from physical media, and all of your gaming will be on servers elsewhere, which this affects frame perfect speedruns in a big way.
People have been predicting that future for a while now. It makes a lot of sense from the Microsoft business point of view.
That's also why they bought Activision, basically.
Yeah. It makes a little bit of sense from a consumer point of view because you don't have to pay for expensive hardware anymore. But in a lot of ways, it sucks.
Yeah, it's kind of scary. But there's this beautiful person that I haven't got to say hi to yet. And I was hoping to throw it over his way.
Absolutely. Hey, Luigi's apartment, how you doing?
Hi, I'm over here knowing that Microsoft, since they were allowed to buy Activision, now has like 70% of the cloud gaming market. So there's another monopoly for them. So hi, I like video games and stuff.
What video game are you liking right now in particular? Anything that can take your mind away from the horrible monopoly that has become the gaming industry?
Yeah, this really stupid, like, it's SimCity, but just the, like, cars, nothing else. There's been plenty of games that have done that. It's called Mini Motorways, and it, like, even rips off, like, the sounds of like two dots, like this real ambient stuff and like little bing bongs from when like the cars arrived at their destination and all that stuff. And yeah, I hate how much I love it. I'm obsessed with it. So let's get this over with so I can go back to beating the crap out of that. And then I can play the mini train.
Mini Metro, that's the one I played a little bit. I had a little bit of experience.
Yeah, with. That you told me about and ruined my life.
Yeah, I hate to do it to you. It's like when I introduced my girlfriend to the wonders of idle games, and I've stopped, because I jump into those games like every book, like every year or so when I'm like, I don't know what to do right now. I need an absolute time waster while I binge a bunch of content or something. And I'll jump into it and I'll be like, cool, that was a fun 3 days. Or like week or whatever. And then she kept playing it 4 months for many months. I was like, why did you do this?
Wow. Was there a particular one that she was really interested in?
We were playing Egg Inc. a lot, which is like a highly rated one on Android, probably on iOS also. Actually, definitely on iOS also. It is good. It's good. But like, don't fall into the idle game trap, folks, because the game just will never end. And I've always described idle games as Excel spreadsheet, the video game. It's just watching numbers get bigger. Yeah. Like it's just watching numbers go up.
Interesting way.
Sometimes that's satisfying enough and that's what you need. Other times you want to play a video game basically backwards. You know, everything's valid when it comes to gaming. You can play games however you want.
Yeah. Sometimes you go into the bar and you go to the biggest person in the back and you say, I'm starting with you tonight. And then you work your way down.
Well, really funny thing you mentioned that. So the last few pit stops, we've been starting to do this thing of our speedrun glossary to teach people about different terms in the speedrun community, if you're new or if we want to introduce you to something that you've never quite explored before, much like that bar scenario, we're talking about reverse boss order today.
Now, yeah, RBO.
RBO.
So if you've ever seen that on a category board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The nice thing about this one is the title itself is pretty simple and self-explanatory, but the way that these categories are carried out is the thing that makes it really cool. So the idea is starting with the very last boss and moving all the way up. So I know that y'all were talking about some really cool RBOs earlier. What were what was your first exposure to this?
Because you can't do it in every game.
No, by no means. I mean, it shouldn't be possible in any game.
Right.
Right. Like when you just think about it, like, oh, I'm going to do the final boss first. Like, what? What do you mean you're going to do the final boss first and then do the first boss last? Like, it shouldn't be possible, but it is.
Yeah, you generally kind of see them in Metroidvanias a lot just because that world is fairly open. And if there's any way to break out of that order, you can start getting to spots you're not supposed to much quicker. So you see that, you know, a lot of Castlevania's Super Metroid.
Yeah, I think much like the last one we did with Low Percent, it probably comes from Super Metroid. You know, yeah, it's self-explanatory, but then you see RBO next to something and you're like, what is that? But as soon as someone tells you what it means, it's like, oh, yeah, right, of course.
Yeah.
And I think I probably saw it for the first time on a Super Metroid run.
Yeah, surprising absolutely no one, the world record for RBO Super Metroid is held by Shiny Zenny. So, yeah.
Shocker.
Right?
The way I like to think about it is, like, if Low Percent is the way to do the slowest speed run for a game a lot of the time, RBO is the way to do the glitchiest speed run. Now, the arbitrary code execution notwithstanding, we talked about that a lot in Low Percent, and that's kind of its own can of worms. But outside of that, like, generally, we break games when we speedrun. When we try to do them fast, we like to find ways to get through a wall instead of having to go around it or over it or just skip a building entirely or whatever. But when you're talking about playing the game basically in reverse order, you got to do some crimes. Like, you really got to commit some video game crimes to make that happen.
The speedrun police are looking for you.
They really are. So if you are the kind of person who loves to see, like, the weirdest and wildest glitches, you're going to get some shit in these, because it's not just about, you know, the glitches that save you time when you're talking about a category like RBO. Some of them you just have to be able to, you got to do a glitch in order to get to the thing.
Right.
So, yeah.
Let alone be strong enough to beat that thing up. Which is where, like, yeah, how much damage you deal, you know, glitches for that too.
My first time seeing one was Donkey Kong Country. And I remember just being very baffled beforehand because the map goes one way. Like, you can't go to that next part of the map without beating the first boss. How is this happening? And then you just see the madness ensue.
Is it weird setups like when we saw in Donkey Kong Country 2, where they just, like, pop out of a hole and into, like, the first or the final boss? And then, because, like, yeah, how do you unlock the next region?
Through incredibly weird glitches like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Through, I think, wrong manipulation.
Warps. Yeah.
Wrong warps.
Yeah. I think that it's always fun when you have a game that wants to, like, lock you into the first boss pretty early and you got to find a way to avoid it. So, like, Dark Souls 1, I believe you can do reverse boss order in, or at least you can do a lot of it. And in order to skip the first boss, you, like, almost, you basically kill it until the point where you get the reward for the boss, but you, like, reload at the right time and stuff, so the boss stays alive.
So, oh, interesting. Just to unlock that door, basically?
Yeah, because to get through the door at the beginning, you have to defeat the Asylum Demon. That's the first one, right? To escape the Asylum. And so in order to, like, get around that, because you don't have much to start with yet, they have to do some kind of glitch where, like, you basically beat the boss, but it stays alive, so it isn't dead yet. You have not beaten it yet, but you get the reward, so you can get out the door and move on. And then from there, it's a whole glitchy mess.
Yeah, in case anyone doesn't know, Souls game speed runs, quick save and quick loading, quitting out to menu, All very important to those.
Well, honestly, it's the reloading in Souls games. It depends on the category. Sometimes it's just about saving in-game time while a door opens, because FromSoft loves to make their doors open really slowly.
Or to save from like a death or something bad going wrong.
Save yourself. Yeah, there are some skips that you can do with reloading, but
something bad going wrong. Good job, Ouija.
But yeah, one of the ones I'm familiar with is Ori and the Blind Forest reverse event order. And that one, I wanted to kind of talk about how reverse boss order is like the initial kind of bread and butter concept of this whole thing. But some games don't have bosses, or some games reverse boss order isn't all that interesting or something. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you can pick bosses in any order in the game. And some of them find other ways to do the same idea. So like Crash Bandicoot, there's reverse warp order in for Crash Bandicoot 3, at least. And for Ori and the Blind Forest, there's reverse event order, which is really interesting because you have to get to the very end of the game and activate what is supposed to be a like cutscene that locks you into the final escape of the video game, but find a way to not be locked in and instead get out and be like, all right, cool. The last thing I'm going to do is the first thing that everybody remembers from this game, which is like the water escape and then like get the water. And the other thing is you can't collect the keys for the dungeons before going to the dungeon for a lot of them. It's really interesting how,
well, I mean that,
how they get around that.
Mm-hmm. And that game gets weird anyway, because like the any percent is just, you know, swoopity swoop and you're done.
Yeah. It's like an 8 minute, 10 minute, like wrong warp. Yeah.
So you can do some ridiculous stuff.
Mm-hmm. One really funny thing, my first exposure to reverse boss order was a video game that actually intentionally does it that way. So, because apparently it's a time save. Are you familiar with Death's Door at all?
Okay.
I never beat it, but I played some of it. Like, I got through some of it.
I downloaded it the other day.
It's fun. Very fun.
Yeah. Highly recommend. It's really funny, well written, and it plays very much like Titan Souls or Dark Souls, like difficult boss fights. But the very first big soul boss, Grandma, actually has the most HP out of all of the bosses in the game. And the like final boss soul that you're supposed to get has the least. So you actually start by glitching into the final area so you can take out that boss and then work your way towards the beginning to Grandma again. So it's really interesting that in a lot of games, you have to be really glitchy and it's a longer category because you're trying to get around so much. But there are some games that it actually does save time. And that's just wild to me.
Yeah, that's cool.
I did not know about that. That's really, I've not heard of many games where, like, there are plenty of games where it's better to do some later bosses before some earlier ones that for the exact same kind of reason you were talking about. Like, you get strong and then you go take out the early one very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't think I've heard of until the example you just provided, I hadn't heard of anything that was like, yeah, we're going to do the final boss first and then go back and do some other bosses.
Yeah. It's really cool. I will say, technically, I don't think it's a true reverse boss order, but a majority of the bosses in the game are fought in reverse for that reason.
Yeah. Sometimes it's like an agreed upon order largely within a game. I know with like Dark Souls 2, there's not a specific order bosses should be beaten the first time you play. So having a reverse boss order, what you have to like kind of make rules and concessions like, well, there's no way that you can go fight Nissandra before beating the Throne Watcher and Defender and Giant Lord. So you need to just kind of make your own format for how this is going to work as a category.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is that typically listed in like the category rules, or like they have a specific community order?
Yeah,
usually for a lot of games like that.
Okay.
Yeah, because I don't know if I did an actual reverse boss order, but I said I was, and that was, so I was playing Zelda 2. I think I did it like an afternoon or something like that, but so the way that some old Zelda games work out is that the item that you get in the dungeon doesn't really do anything for, or doesn't do anything for you in the dungeon. They're more about like traversing the overworld. So you can get the item. You don't need it to beat the boss. And oftentimes what I'll do with Zelda 2 is the opening of the game is kind of boring. And I really want to get to the downstab to where the good stuff starts. And so like I'll just run into the first two dungeons, grab the thing and leave. And after I was like to the third one, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do this reverse boss order because you can. I'm going to get all the way to the end of the game and then come back and beat them backwards and then beat the final boss. Because they don't give you a heart container. They don't really do anything other than give you a free level up.
Mm, okay. Yeah, I'm not as familiar with Zelda 2.
That's really fun.
It is funny, though, like a common theme for a lot of them is that you're going to end up weaker for these late game bosses a lot of times. Mm. Because, you know, a lot of Zelda games, you get a heart container every time you beat a boss. And in some other games, maybe you get an upgraded weapon or something.
And then in a speed run, you probably would not be seeking out the like heart, the health jars or the magic jars like I was. True. Like. You're not mm-hmm. necessarily well. I think you have to go in the cave and get that child, no matter what. But yeah,
it's also dependent on the individual player's level of skill and everything, right?
Yeah.
I think one of the things that I also find interesting about RBO speedruns is that sometimes like getting to the final boss early, which you would consider to be like, oh, that's got to be the biggest hurdle. It's got to be the hard milestone. Sometimes you find easy ways to do that. Like sometimes maybe your 80% speedrun just goes and does that anyways. I mean, let's look at like Breath of the Wild, right? Like they pretty much go straight to the end. And then it becomes all of the other parts. Like maybe it's harder to do bosses 4 and 5 out of order. Like for some reason, like those are the hard ones.
And the drop from 4 helps you on, would have helped you on 4 and helps you on 5 or something.
Or just like the game expects them to be linearly linked and like, how are you going to do them in a backwards order? And that's why I said like the glitches in RBO speedruns to me are so fascinating because it's not just about things that are really difficult to execute and doing them quickly. It is about that too, but it's also just people who have found such creative ways to play these games, creative ways to just completely mess up the intended order of things, and that is just, you got to do some really wacky shit sometimes to make that happen.
Yeah, not every game that has a reverse boss order is like this, but there, some games get so thoroughly taken apart that like the light bulb, like a new trick is found and the light bulb appears over some runner's head. And it's like, guys, this means like, you know what this means, right? Like we could feasibly do a reverse boss order in this game. Like, okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Now with this, armed with this tech, it is now possible. Like, and then there's other games where it's like, well, we can just hop out of this area and do it this way. But like, I like the idea of that, like eureka moment for a game and a community.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I feel like that's something that I've never seen at a marathon, but I want to see more of those. We've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. Glitchy runs are something that I am not really great with as a speedrunner, but as a viewer, I am so fascinated by really fun glitchy runs, and I feel like reverse boss order absolutely fits that. The one reverse boss rush that I can do is Shadow, but it's not particularly exciting because it's just boss rush and going from the back of the temple to the front instead of the front to the back. So, like, that's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, I want to say reverse boss order has definitely been done at GDQ a few times.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that's really hard to like find too. Like it's gonna be hard to search.
I know Shiny Zinni did one of Super Metroid a few years back. It was like a 106 or 105, something like that. Other than that,
I was gonna shout out GDQVods.com is a super fantastic website. And unfortunately, you can't really search for individual categories on there, I don't believe. So that's going to be hard. But yeah, AGDQ 2019, Super Metroid Reverse Boss Order by Shiny Zenny. Maybe Super Metroid 2016 was also done, but not a lot.
Donkey Kong Country 2018, AGDQ.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Summer Games Done Quick 2012, there was a Mega Man 4 reverse boss order.
Ooh, in the early days. That's
love
awesome.
Love that.
Is it the reverse boss order of the whatever route in Mega? Because it's Mega Man. You can pick any level you want.
Yeah, but
there's a standard route.
Do they have a way to go to Wily's castle before all of the robot masters or something? And they could do those bosses backwards?
Then they do the boss rush backwards and then they go do all the levels?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, you'll have to watch to find out because I'm not familiar with it.
I like the idea of Mega Man 4 being like, you know, because sometimes not everyone. Sorry, Ruby.
No, please.
Sometimes not every Mega Man runner picks the same level, which is what makes Mega Man races great, because then like they diverge at some point. I just think it would be funny if like, hey, there's one Mega Man game where this is set in stone and there is no like argument about it, and we're gonna do it backwards. We're gonna do all the levels the wrong order.
Yeah, that was the thing I was wondering is like in Mega Man games, they have the boss rush at the end, right? In Breath of the Wild, it's the same way. If you skip all of the Divine Beasts, they give you each of the bosses in the actual order. So I don't know if an RBO actually exists for Breath of the Wild or how that would work, because usually that boss rush in order is what then unlocks the Ganon fight. Like that could lead to some really interesting questions.
Right. If it were just Ganon. It's only one boss, and that's technically in reverse, right? But since there's four ahead of it, then, how do you do that?
Exactly, because even if you're going for the final boss, they still make you fight all of the bosses in the regular order first for the Divine Beast. Well,
I don't know how many decades is it going to take to get arbitrary code execution into recent systems.
Listen, this is me just saying, hey, Breath of the Wild runners out there, I am issuing you a challenge. Please prove to me that RBO for Breath of the Wild can be done. I am so curious.
Well, or even if like you could do, I don't know, like a reverse shrine order somehow or something. But the game's pretty open. That's the nature of open world games.
Yeah.
You can't always do those same kinds of categories with them. And, you know, any percent is pretty much the only category that is universally applicable to almost every single game out there. And even then, there's a couple where you could say that it's not really. Some of these other things like low percent or max percent or reverse boss order, it's not going to be there for every game. And that's okay. But it sure makes it really fun when it is, because you know some wild shit's going to happen. I cannot recommend enough, like, if one of your favorite games that you've watched the speedrun for a bunch of times has a reverse boss order or reverse event order or whatever, you know, analogous category, if it has that in it, just give it a watch sometime, especially if you can find a commentated version of it, because I think one of the reasons you don't see these at marathons that often is that they're often really fucking hard. Like, they're often either really long or really hard.
You're going basically unarmed into final boss fights. That's horrifying.
Or even if you can go pick up stuff ahead of time, like just the ability to get and do things out of order can be really involve some really tough to execute glitches. So it's it makes it all that more impressive to see somebody dismantle it properly. And I know some people have tried to, you know, have made some YouTube videos about like trying to do like some of the Souls games in backwards order and stuff, and I need to check some of those out myself, I think. But I have seen a couple. I think Dark Souls 1 is doable, if I remember correctly. I'm not entirely certain,
I know
but
that
it might be.
Dark Souls 2, it's definitely possible, but I'm not sure about the rest of the series.
I was thinking about I think it might be possible in Battle for Bikini Bottom, because a lot of that game is like wide open and it's all just kind of loaded in. Like the map is all loaded in and you can get out of bounds and skip past most stuff. So it's probably a lot of that game. When you get to the final part of an area, it just goes backwards from there, because the way you were supposed to go was very linear, and so you're able to just skip backwards through the whole thing and not have to do any of it, which is kind of weird and backwards already. So I bet the whole game you could just do that.
You should make this speedrun possible, because currently they have any percent, 100%, all level spatulas, warpless, and no cruise boosting. So I think you have to make this happen, Luigi.
It's one of those games where, so I looked into this for like a guest episode over on like Unlocking What Was Cool. It used to be the GameCube Was Cool podcast. They were like, can you look into Bikini Bottom speedruns? So I was like, all right, fine. It's one of those games where like you can't describe, you can't show someone how to do the trick. Like you just have to know. You have to have played it over and over again, and it's ridiculously impossible. And like, it's also like on a damage iframe, and so it's frame perfect, but there's like multiple damage animations for SpongeBob, and so all the different damage animations have different frame counts, and just like, nope, never, ever, ever, ever gonna learn any of this nonsense. But I bet you could do it. And that's Battle for Bikini Bottom.
I don't know enough about the game, but you probably could give it a shot.
Yeah, during the run they were counting frames for specific tricks.
So basically what happens is when you take damage, the game does a damage animation, and it checks to see if you're on ground or in midair. And for whatever reason, the first frame after you take damage, the game thinks, just for one frame only, that you're on the ground. And so if you jump, you get like a third triple jump.
Oh.
The problem is there's like three different damage animations, because SpongeBob's a cartoon character. And so there's like, but one of them is longer just by like a few frames than the other. And so the runner has to not only be good at doing this dumb trick, but has to have played the game so long that they recognize which damage animation happened and know to time it differently to get the triple jump.
That sounds like the kind of thing you would find in an RBO speedrun.
Yes. Like,
wild. Like just the most
wild.
This is why I'm like, I bet you could do that. I bet you could totally do that. In addition to like the fact that the whole map is just loaded in, basically.
God, that sounds so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like there's a lot of potential for more games to be broken open and to have RBO become a category. It's always exciting, but it's not huge. You don't see tons of games with it yet. And it is such a cool sounding category and mind boggling to watch that when they do happen, it is, it's always interesting.
I can just imagine that even, like you were saying before, Hobbs, even the thought of taking on an RBO is probably a really daunting task. But once you get there, like, how exciting is that? That you can take out the first boss with basically nothing at your disposal or the few things that you have access to.
Yeah. And it's the kind of thing to kind of like what you were saying, where I'm like, I know that's not for me. I know I'm not going to learn those kinds of runs. But I love when I am deep enough into the speedrun of a game where I can watch one and like, A, still be amazed at first, but then B, start to actually understand the mechanics behind how that kind of glitch is working to make it possible, or those kinds of glitches. I think it just is a, if you want to understand a game on a super deep technical level, watch and learn how the RBO speedrun works.
I wonder if there is another, like, because now that I was thinking about that, like, that game just having the whole map there, I wonder if maybe open world games or something. I was thinking of like old Grand Theft Autos, which are already kind of janky and barely held together as it is, if there would be easy ways to like trigger cutscenes early and do like certain fights, but that would be a long reverse boss order. But
I don't know. Maybe.
I have to imagine.
Have to ask those communities.
And question for y'all, because I know I mentioned I would love to see a reverse boss order Breath of the Wild. If there was any game that you don't know if the reverse boss order exists, but are like, oh, that would be really cool. Like, what game would you think of as, hey, I issue this challenge, please find a reverse boss order?
Ooh. That's a really good question.
Like, it's a really cool category, but like you said, it doesn't exist for all games. So this is us giving inspiration to you, the speedrunning listener.
Ratchet and Clank.
Ratchet and Clank could be cool.
Where, Rack 3, since I've seen that speedrun.
Yeah.
Because that game is broke.
I was thinking, like, Kingdom Hearts 2 would be so fucking hard, but it would just be interesting to me, like, how that would happen. I know it isn't possible at the moment, though. Like, you can't do things out of the proper sequence in that game, basically. But, yeah, man, that'd be wild. You know what? Hollow Knight. Hollow Knight would be really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. If you could find a way to, like, beat Radiance but not actually beat it and be able to leave and go do something else.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That would be really cool.
What about you, Brad?
Yeah, anytime, like, maybe, like, a longer, like, PlayStation 1 RPG, if you were able to somehow, like, get out of the area you're supposed to be in is...
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, getting to reverse boss order is a tricky... That's a tall order. Just getting out of order is exciting enough.
Yeah, because when you were talking about how they had messed with the boss HP values and Death's Door, that got me thinking about, like, Alundra or just any working designs game where they, like, cranked and messed with the boss HP, enemy HP. But, yeah, I think... Alundra's probably got a glitch in there somewhere that'll, like, let you jump around the game. I don't know.
Yeah.
I want to reverse Katamari Damacy. This isn't a boss order. But yeah. Where your Katamari's big and you have to try and run into stuff and get it smaller.
You got to put it all back.
Yeah, put the world back to where it was. It's not really a boss order, but it's reverse order.
Just knocking things off the dome somehow.
I felt bad for all those school kids I picked up. I want them to go back to school instead of hanging out with my trucks and my goats, whatever else I got.
I feel like you would just want to call that guilt percent. Like, I feel bad for rolling all these things into a ball, take it
guilt
back.
Guilt percent.
Here's how you make that game. You just have, like, this massive snowball or something, or you know, big Katamari, and you have to find bare patches of land to unroll this, like, trail behind you, but if you bump into anything around you, it gets sucked back in again. Like, it,
there we go.
I think that's how you'd make that game. This is no longer a reverse version of Katamari Damacy within its own game. This is just a different game that I want to play now.
Yeah, in that same vein, I want to do a reverse boss order of Animal Crossing, which is just dismantling Tom Nook's giant evil empire.
the fact that the speedruns for that are mainly just buy all the things from Tom Nook, like,
just make as much money as you can and give it all to the raccoon. I like how I was talking to someone about this the other day, how, like, in the lead up to New Horizons, everyone was like, is Tom Nook really that bad? He gives you interest free loans and blah 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 blah. And like a few months of that, like, everybody writing articles and people talking about it, and then the game comes out and, like, nothing. It's like, No, we all know it. He's evil. He's bad. Don't do this little crap. As soon as we are all in the game, we're like, oh yeah, this guy sucks.
I want to hear this TED talk from you, Luigi, about the evil of the entire Nook Corporation.
Yeah, there's a meeting at the docks tonight. Be there.
You got it.
Remember, if there's two lamps on in the window, you have to make sure that you come in through the back door.
Right. Oh. The fuzz is poking around.
More like Tom Crook.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bradley, for the contribution.
Got him.
When we're not meeting...
That's my whole TED talk.
When we're not meeting in back alleys to talk about the horror that is Tom Nook or reverse boss order runs, hey, Luigi, where can people find you?
Hi, I am currently busy covering Tears of the Kingdom over on my Zelda Book Club podcast, Chat of the Wild. I've seen some shit, y'all. I haven't like beaten the game or like seen all the shit, but I have recently seen some of it, and it was wild. I don't know if it's like good, but it was cool. And I'm into it. I don't know. It's a good game. It's weird. It's probably will be my favorite game of the year, but Yeah, I'm ready to finish that game and then keep playing it for a while. But I just need to know everything. I'm at the point where, like, is this over? Is this going to be over? Are we good? Is there more? What are we doing here? Just let me know. I need to know. So, yeah, come check out Chat of the Wild wherever you find your podcasts. We're on, like, it's going to be like 20 plus episodes this season. So, hooray. Also, listen to Remember 64. That show's great.
Heck yeah. Oh, I can't wait to listen. And Brad, where can we find you?
Well, you can find me over at Hair of the Dogcast. That's the other podcast that I'm on every week. We have an Elden Ring series called Elden Dogs, which just, we've recorded 25 different episodes. We have 22 out to the public at the moment. We have some great cut content episodes coming up that are a lot of fun. And yeah, otherwise, we just did RE4 Remake. We're doing a Plague Tale, Innocence and Requiem. FF10's coming up. Very excited about that. And yeah, we also discuss gaming news, trailers on the Dogcast episodes, the main Dogcast. And we just did the biggest leaks in gaming. That'll be coming out soon. That's very exciting.
That sounds fun.
Remember that one time old man Yamauchi peed on himself at an investor meeting?
Big leak in gaming. Very big leak.
Yeah.
Yep. So check out Hair of the Dogcast. It's on all the stuff. Look it up. I'm there.
Heck yeah. And Hobbs, what are you up to? Where can we find you?
Hey, you can find me at twitch.tv/jhobbs296 or just Google jhobbs, J-H-O-B-Z. Usually shows up there. And I am still in love with Multiworld Archipelago stuff, but Keyseron and I are going to be doing a bunch of co-op playthroughs and some co-op speedruns because we recently did a joint event. Ruby, you're actually going to be excited to hear that one of the speedruns we're returning back to is Overcooked 2.
Yay! Hell yeah!
It's a little down the road. We've got a couple things we got to finish before that, but we will be returning back to that one. And Spider-Man 2 is going to be coming out October 20th. So you'll find me online probably like 20 out of 24 hours in the day just playing that game probably. I'm also going to a thing called SRC or Speedrun Coliseum. I think this comes out before. Actually, it'll be live when this episode comes out, probably.
It
might not be like live at that specific time that you're listening to it, but it should be on my Twitch channel and like 29 other awesome gamers. We are all going to be streaming, like co-streaming this event. Basically, just like 30 of us are getting locked in a mansion and doing a whole bunch of fun shit while raising money for direct relief. So check that out. It's Spike Vegeta putting it on. And, you know, friend of the podcast, Mr. Ace of Tim's.
Hey, Ruby, what are you up to these days?
Oh, that's a good question, Luigi. When I'm not obsessively playing Baldur's Gate and Fire Emblem, you can find me
and at doing Twitch. Volleyball at the rec center.
You can find me at twitch.tv/RubyHeart. I do a lot of speedrunning and Let's Play content. I've switched to doing something where my community votes for the game that I focus hardcore in speedrunning for that month, whether it's a new speedrun or old speedrun. So I got back to my roots and I've been focusing Shadow this month and learning terrifying strats. Like, I can jump stab Avion's wing now. Like, it's real, like the Bird Colossus. You can get flung in the air and jump stab the wing.
Damn.
And you get very excited when you do it.
It's terrifying and amazing. But yeah, so if you want to check that out and vote for what the next month's game is, please feel free to come over. I also have a Patreon where we do like movie nights and game nights and shit. And it's really great. But join this Patreon first, because that's more important. But
join them all.
Join them all.
We all have Patreons.
Of course, if you want to support us further, please consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/possiblybad. If you subscribe at the, you know, just regular $5 tier. There you get access to some exclusive content, including all of the commentary tracks for our main full-length episodes of Need for Speed Running. You also get access to some videos. We have free trial memberships. You can check us out for a week if you don't like
They're
it.
Free.
You don't have to continue it.
Yeah.
It's totally free. It's totally kosher if you just want to go binge all the exclusive content in 1 week and then you're done. We get it. That's okay. Just check it out. Because you'll like what you find, I promise. And for those of you that are in the, I think, possibly badass tier or potentially badass tier, that's what it is, of $10 or more, you are probably an executive producer of the show. Probably. That's the word. I always forget because I used like all of them. Probably badass tier. Thank you all so much for being EPs of the show. We got Cassandra Erickson, Hypixion, Ethan King, Professor Hal, Zeodelip, Brian Ward, HighlyGamer01, Lisa Sleck, and Lassian Luponis. Thank you all so much for continuing to be EPs of the show, including brand new one there.
And we love you.
We love you so much.
Yeah. Also, yay for WGA. And if everything goes well after this podcast, hopefully, when you're hearing it, the negotiations will be complete. But fingers crossed. So
yeah. And if not, then we'll have a much darker tone next episode.
Yeah. And we'll talk about why AMPTP needs to stop it. Just like, hey. But yay, writers. Y'all are great.
We'll all quit going to work.
Yeah. But I think that's going to be about it for us here at Need for Speed Running. Y'all, check out some reverse boss order runs. They are so freaking cool. They take a ridiculous amount of glitches, prowess, determination, and probably frustration along the way to actually make happen. And otherwise, have an amazing rest of your day and keep going fast.
Yeah.
Bye. Yeah, bye.
Fast enough that the cops pull you over. I'm so sorry, Luigi.